Lord, I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith, Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. Obscuring the brightness of light, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. Living by faith,
living by faith,
in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love.
I want to speak tonight from a verse that I found in Job this morning. Most people are afraid of having their nests disturbed. Most people spend their life building a nest down here. I want to speak on the subject of nesting and resting and jesting, and that's America for you. So light, so trivial. I've dealt with many a problem this week, and every one of them stemmed from sin and disobedience to God. I was reading the book of Job this morning, and Job made a statement. Didn't work out that way, but he made it. We make a lot of statements that don't work. Job chapter 29, please. Job 29. I don't know of a message that the Lord has stirred me up on or given me that's more needed than the message I'm going to bring tonight. In the 29th chapter, we have Job saying, verse 2, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me. One who's preserving him now. In other words, them good old days. I wish it's back in the good old days. People talk about the good old days. Let me tell you something. There's just one good old day, and that's the Ancient of Days, and that's the day you live for Jesus. That's the only good old days you'll ever have. Count all your other days wasted. Every day of sin, count it wasted. Don't care how much money you made, how much you prospered, that's wasted unless you live it for Christ. There's no such thing. What does good old days mean? It means God old days. You've had no good old days until you've had some godly days and some Christ-like ways. And tonight, I realize that I face an empty generation. Job said, I shall die in my nest. And I shall multiply my days as the sand. I'm going to live a long time. I've got my nest fixed. and I'm going to be comfortable, and I'm going to have a good time, and I've got all the money I need, I've got all the camels I need, I've got plenty of servants, and so I'm going to build old Brother Job a nest, and I'm going to, my years will be like the sands of the sea. I'm going to live a long time. And yet, it wasn't very long till God stepped in and stirred up his nest. Now remember this, God never stirs up your nest down here, but what he gives you a better nest up there. And I say something else. God never lets the devil disturb your nest. If he permits the devil to disturb your nest down here, but what? God will make you a better nest down here. Now, I've got a nest. I've got a nest. I think everybody ought to have a nest. But it ought to be a spiritual nest. You don't need a lot of worldly things. We don't need a lot of junk and trifles and garbage. We just need the good spiritual security that's in Christ. Now turn with me, please, to the book of Habakkuk, and then we're going over to our main text. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 9. He starts off by saying, woe. Now that means there's a curse. Woe to him that covereth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. When you build you a nest out of covetousness for the world. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, and establisheth a city by iniquity. That's liquor traffic, that's dope traffic. I notice where some of the folks are making an appeal now for a 3-year marriage license, at which time they'll start all over, get them another one. They said if we could get a 3-year marriage license, then that would give people an opportunity to have many happy marriages. So you see, if you got to your golden wedding anniversary, instead of having a golden wedding wife, you will have had 3 into 50 would be 16 or 17 wives. Now the thing the stupid idiot didn't know was that none of those marriages would be happy. But they said we could have many happy marriages, you see. Well, behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity? For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. Now turn with me, please, to the book of Deuteronomy. And this is the great passage that through the years I've enjoyed reading this. 32nd chapter, verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his oil wells. No, sir. The Lord's portion, Deuteronomy 32 in verse 9. The Lord's portion is his gold mines. Didn't say that at all. What is the Lord fond of? What does he really love the most? What is God interested in? Is it beautiful horses? Is it registered Santa Gertrudis and white-faced Herefords and black Angus? I mean, what is God? Is it the hills and the mountains and Niagara Falls there in New York? And I mean, is it the beauty of a sunset? Is it making that sun rise every day and bringing up that big ball of fire and then painting his beautiful sunset? And is that what God really loves? Let's see what he said. For the Lord's portion is his people. That's his. Didn't say people. He loves people, but the Lord's portion is his people. He's innocent in his family. He loves his children. That's all he's got. And he's looking forward, I think, to getting them all home one of these days. And all of us ought to live homesick. Every one of us. We ought to be glad to get to go home. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land. Where'd he find you? Said he found him in a desert land. Found him in a lonely place. And you know what happens in a desert? No water. No vegetation. Famine. Hard times in the desert. He found him in a desert land. Just like we found an old boy today. Down the intercoastal, he ran off. And he was nearly dead today. Baked. Was gone since yesterday. Staggering, stumbling, in mud, water, sand. Didn't have much longer to live. He'd have soon been delirious and would have fallen on his face and we'd have picked up his body. He kind of learned the hard way, didn't he? He sure did. Very fortunate to be alive tonight and that anybody ever found him. There are two places that you can get lost and never lose, never find your location. That's on water and in a desert. All directions look alike. There are no markers. And the wages of sin is still death. Since I got back from the islands, I've never known the devil to be on such a rampage as he is in connection with our work. And I always take that as an introduction to greater days. I feel like God is fixing to put on his war clothes and come on. I mean, he's fixing to take care of things. God always does. He never leaves us with more burdens than we can bear. And he always comes in on the scene at just exactly the right time. And if I don't miss my prophecy, right now's the right time. Now, a lot of you people don't know what I'm talking about because you live such sheltered lives. You've got your little feathers just pulled right up over your eyes and ears, and you're stretched out and said, oh, enjoying my nest. Yeah. Boy, you wait till your nest gets disturbed. You'll howl to high heaven. Why did the Lord treat me like this? You ought to be treated like that. No man has the right to live in a nest of selfishness, a nest of pleasure living, a nest of just the things of the world. And if you belong to God, he'll disturb your nest. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. Isn't that where he found you, Greg? Wasn't it a waste howling wilderness? Sandy, can you imagine a little girl at the age of 16, 17, 18, and 19? And yet, her little old life being snuffed out by the devil. Waste howling wilderness. Just such a wilderness. And yet, little girls at the age of 12 and 13 have already been out in the waste howling wilderness. Lost and without hope and without Christ. I tell you, I wish someday that God would baptize all of our girls with a baptism of gratitude for just having an opportunity that most young people will never have. They'll never be exposed. Never be exposed. Fact is, that smart aleck that got his daughter a while ago, I mean that wretched, wicked, ungodly sinner that snatched his daughter and ran with her, though he does not have custody over her, and we'll do our best to get him to spend the night in jail tonight. Don't care what his profession is. That's a jailbird. That's a criminal. But they sat last night, and of course they got mad because he couldn't smoke out here. And he couldn't drink any more liquor while he was here. Of course, he'd already had enough. But he said, you're trying to teach these girls to live in a world that doesn't even exist. Well, don't kid me. My world exists. I've been in it for 38 years. It's more real than his. He has to drink liquor to get into his world. Man has to get, he has to lose his brain power before he can get in his world. I get in the middle of my world, I still got good sense. And rejoice, and I can think and sing and pray. Poor old empty, stupid souls. I wonder what preachers preached to that fellow when he was coming up. I know as well as I'm standing here, the preachers are going to give an account to a lost for a lost generation of mothers and dads and young people. And these silly preachers that are trying to act like the hippie world and the young people in order to win them and trying to set up their little old houses of pleasure in order to reach the young people and let them dress any way they want to and smoke and live like the devil, they'll give an account to God one of these days. Young people, the preachers like that are not your friend. They're just appearing on the surface to be your friend. If you really got in the jam, I mean really got in trouble, they wouldn't have a thing to help you with. They couldn't. There's one thing I've noticed in the last 20 years. You never find a modernist starting a home for dope addicts or alcoholics or delinquent girls or boys. Why? They don't have anything strong enough to reach them. Oh, they may have a little social program down at the church, but the dope addict's gone too far to be reached by that. He's got to have something that'll go deep in his soul and redeem him and cleanse him on the inside. Where'd he find me? In a desert land. In the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Now, verse 11, I suppose, would be our text. As an eagle stirreth up her nest. Stirreth up her nest. Eagle stirs up her nest. What else does he do? Floodeth over her young. Spreadeth abroad her wings. taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Are you listening? There was no strange God. Television's a strange God. People fall at the shrine of Hollywood and worship hour after hour. People fall at the shrine of a stick of nicotine, and they worship. They blow that smoke. That's their incense. That's hell's incense. And they're governed by it. They spend more time smoking than they do reading the Bible. They spend more money buying cigarettes. That's their God. That's a strange God. I'll tell you another, and that's immorality. That's a strange God. But it's so ephemeral. It passes so quick and leaves you so nauseated and sick over your sin. And yet, you want to go right back again and again, and no satisfying portion. Strange gods our people have today. The people live in such a strange world. They worship everything but God and but the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice, if you were to go up to the fourth verse, he'd say, He's the rock, capital R. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Now then, you know what he said? He is just right. He's just right. He's the only one that I know of that's just right. Now then, I'm just, and he makes me right because I'm justified by his grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, stirring up your nest. Stirring up your nest. I was on the farm 38 years ago, and I had about all the nest I wanted, I guess. I mean, I had no ambition. I really didn't. I'd had no ambition. And the Lord came in and stirred up my nest. And really, it scared me half to death. Fact is, it just about made me sick. Of course, I was sick already, but I mean, it scared me. I mean, I had never quoted a verse of Scripture in the church house. I had never offered a prayer in the church house, and I don't think many anywhere else, if any. I mean, I was not a man of prayer. I was not a man of faith. And I certainly was green and ignorant concerning the Word of God. If there had been one verse in the entire Bible that I could have quoted, and I doubt if I'd have got it right, that'd been John 3:16. I mean, I absolutely knew nothing about the Word of God. Now then, God stirred up my nest. But it's a tremendous stirring. I thank the Lord for that day. That night when he stirred up my nest and said, Son, it's either preach, and he made me believe if I didn't preach, I wouldn't live. And I was scared to die. And I was scared to preach. Talk about stirring up my nest. When he got through with me, I didn't have any nest left. Now, the Bible says the eagle stirs up her nest. You know, the eagle is the queen of the air. A lot of these songs, you know, that the girls sing, they have a little tinge of modernism about them. And they don't go deep enough sometimes. And they sing, if that isn't love, they said, if that isn't love, then the sparrow can't fly. Well, the sparrow can't fly too good anyhow. I mean, the sparrow's just not noted. And so I changed that and said, the eagle can't fly. Now, that means something to me. Brother, when you get the old eagle where she can't fly, you done broke down the airplane of the sky. And then the song that they sing... thank God for, I found you where the lilies were blooming by the way. And I didn't find him like that. I changed that. I said, I found you when the preacher was preaching the gospel way. We got a lot of stuff passing off today for the gospel. Well, it sounds pretty, but it's not what it took to get us saved. It took more than a little lily out trying to grow in the mud puddle or something else to save me. It took Jesus Christ to save me from my sin. Yes. And then that other, what is that other stanza? What? That's just his way of telling me he loves me. And so the songwriter said, my greatest delight or joy is that God can trust in me, knowing that God can trust in me. He can't trust me. I changed that and I said, my greatest joy is knowing that I've trusted thee. I put my trust in Jesus. God couldn't trust any of us. We're too sorry to trust. But when Jesus comes in, he'll fix us where we'll be trustworthy. But let's let our main joy be in trusting him and instead of him trusting us. A lot of things too shallow today. We need more songs like Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. I heard the girls in there last night, a duet. I kind of want to record them, you know. We got a new duet. Yes, sir. Two young ladies singing and playing. But I got a blessing. They asked me, said, is this bothering you? I said, not a bit. I went in and sang with them. I don't know when we're going to record, a record. But, we got to singing. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I've already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. I tell you, that'll work on your heart. A lot of this stuff will work on your feet and your head, but we need that. It'll work on your heart. We need heart music today, and we need to sing from our hearts. And God's not interested in your talent and your voice, see? He's not interested in how many notes you can read. He's interested in how much you love Him. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. God wants us to do something for Him because we love Him. And that's true. And I'd like for whoever works for me or with me to do it because they love Jesus. Not because they're looking for a job. We don't have any hirelings. A hireling will leave the sheep if the wolf comes. And I don't want anybody coming to the enterprises that's going to run just because the wolf comes, because he's going to come by every day. The wolf just shows up all along the trail. But there's no place for God's people to run or to be disloyal. He found him in a desert land and in a waste, howling wilderness. He led him about, instructed him, and kept him as the apple of his eye. Now, this is the picture, and this is the truth. Read the stories of the eagle. The eagle have you ever heard of the, put your old eagle eye on him? Said, boy, I'm going to put my eagle eye, that means I'm going to see you. Listen, an eagle can see a little rabbit darting through the grass for an old eagle eye. And that eagle can go down there. I've seen an eagle pick up a big jackrabbit. And just like a helicopter. Just reach down and those old claws come out. And I've heard that old rabbit holler, oh, you could hear him. But it's too late now. He's gone. That old eagle got him. And that big old jackrabbit. And she started soaring through the air. Now you know what she's going to do? She's going to eat him. And she's going to use his hide for wall-to-wall carpet. That's right. listen. That old eagle. Listen, you talk about building a nest. An eagle can really build a nest. Why? They'll take the softest, nicest things you've ever heard of in your life, feathers of every kind, and they'll build an ark. They'll build a nest. And they'll put it in there, and then they'll lay their eggs. And then after a while, their little eaglets are born. They're hatched out. And then she begins to observe them. Oh, how wise she is. She'll get ready to take off. And she'll whisper something like this. Y'all stay in this nest. I'll be back. I've got to go get some provisions. I'm going to the store. Well, of course, the little old eaglets, they sit there, and dumb as they could be. Sort of like a human baby, They can't do anything. So they said, yes, mother, we'll be here when you get back. And so the old eagle, she stretches those wings and takes off down the runway, and she soars into the air. She turns all those eyes on, and she begins to look. After a while, she sees her prey for the day. She grabs it up and comes back, and day after day, I want you to know she's taking care of those little eaglets. Maybe a couple of them in there, and listen. And they begin to grow. And after a while, one of them says, say, I believe I'll take a look around. And said, no, you better stay in here. Better stay in this nest. Mama told you, stay in the nest. And he said, yeah, well, listen, I tell you, I'm getting big. Like little children, see, I'm ready to have my first date, 13, 14. You better look out. You mothers and daddies, turn your little girls loose. You'll get your heart broken one of these days. And so the little eagle climbs up. And whispered back and said, hey, Mary, come on up. Come on up. My, listen. Boy, you ought to look around. This is a big world, man. It's bigger than our nest. Come up. Look around. And so, after a while, the mother comes circling in and makes her landing, and she finds both of them sitting on the side of the nest. And they said, mother, my, we came out to look around. And they said, we're enjoying the scenery. Look at the mountains and the trees. And, oh, listen, those little old eaglets, they were having them a time. And the mother said, well, listen, y'all sure better be careful. You know you can't fly. And if you fall over that precipice, I mean, that's all of it. I mean, you'll never eat again. I mean, you'll be dashed to pieces down below. Now, you understand? Oh, yes, mother. We'll never go closer. And so she said, all right. Remember, because I'll have to leave here every day. And so she got them back in the nest, and they spent the night. And the next day, they woke up a little early and said, say, let's get out again. Let's get out again. And so they came out again. And they, but they said, oh, me. I tell you, one of them said, just look at Mother. Oh, look at Mother. I'd sure be afraid to fly like that. I tell you, man, if something happened holding her wings, Mama's gone. I mean, that's just be all over. And then where would we be? And so they said, listen, let's just get back in the nest. But listen, day after day, that old eagle was watching. She watched them. She said, have y'all ever stretched your wings? Well, I said, no. Well, I said, something. Just stretch them. See how long they are. So, boy, I said, do them up and down. You know, like that. See? She'd get out there and practice with them. So they'd, hey. One of them said, hey, I nearly went off the ground. He said, yeah, you better watch it. See? Oh, look out now. Look out now. And so they'd practice. And then when she was gone, they'd still practice. And one of them said, let's try. Oh, no, I'm not going to try to fly. No, sir. I'd never make it. I'm going to stay here as long as Mom will take care of us, you know, or the welfare. You know. We're staying right in our nest. That's it. We're not going anywhere. After all, we didn't have anything to do and hatched out down here. Let her take care of us. That's her bit. Let her work. She go get a rabbit. She brings it back. That's fine with me. But she was. One of them said, I'm just kind of glad it's getting up time. I'm getting out of here. I'd rather stay outside and inside. I tell you, that old nest just don't appeal to me much anymore. I just have to force my way in to go to bed. Fact is, I wouldn't mind just roosting on top of the thing. See? I'm tired of staying in that nest. Old mother was looking at him, blinking her eyes, you know. She was said, y'all stretch your wings some more. And they did. And said, now, Mother, don't get any funny notions. We're never going to fly across that place where you're going. Now, that's the most dangerous thing I ever... I just can't imagine me ever being able to fly like that. And I'm not going to take any chance on killing myself. I'm not going to do it. She said, all right, honeys, y'all just exercise your wings a little, Mother. Be back after a while. And so she came, and they were exercising their wings, and she swooped down and made a little circle, you know, and I tell you, she'd been really doing a little acrobatic flying, you know, and she'd come down and go up, and boy, the little old eagle said, I wish I could fly like that. I guess I never will. I guess, you know, I heard the old mother heard her say, that's what you think. If you're my little eaglet, you'll fly or die. And the day came when she came down, and the other little eagle said, have you noticed her coming so close to us when she swoops down like that? Have you noticed that? Yeah. Well, said, man, I don't want her to touch me. I'm going to back off a little. And so, directly, one of them came out and sitting out, and the old eagle came down and pew! And off the ledge, the little eagle went. Right down. Oh! And there they go. There they go. It's all over. And she said, Mother, how could you do me like this? I told you I couldn't fly. Down she goes and heading toward the rocks and ow, hollering. And the mother, the old mother, just before she came down, swooped down under and said, get on my back, honey. And boy, that little eagle said, gladly I'll do it. And sat down on the back and the mother said, now ride me back. We're going to fly. Boy, she soared up through the air. Piggyback. Eagleback. And she soared up till she got up to the rock. And she came in for a sweet, soft landing. And the little eagle said, oh, me. Little old heart just a-beating like that. Oh, Mother, you won't ever do that again, will you? Oh, it's scary. And the other little eagle said, man, and already going back in the nest, just peeping out. Yeah. You're a terrible mother. Think about that, Mother. I could have gotten killed. I could have gotten killed. The old mother said, I'd rather see you dead. And not to see you fly. An eagle is known not by her beak or her feet, but by her wings. And you'll either fly or you can die. And I'm responsible to teach you to fly. Now get a good night's rest. No, day after day, the old mother would have to sweep them off. She'd pick out one and sweep it off, and the other would stand until one day, oh, blessed day, that little old eagle started falling down through, and directly its wings began to lift it up, and it began to soar. And oh, I said, "Mother, fly along close, but don't bother me." And she began to fly through the air. And after a while, she came back in and made a landing on the old rock. And the other little eagle said, "If you can do it, I can." And the mother said, "Yes, you can." And off she went. And it wasn't very long until the little old eaglets would wake up in the morning and say, "Mother, you going to let us go with you today? We want to fly all the way across to the other mountain today. We want to help you catch rabbits, bring in the food." Why, I can hear them as they came back in at the close of the first long flight, solo. They came back in and sat down on the rock and said, "You know, Mother, I'd rather fly than to eat. The joy of my life, I was so afraid. You remember the first time you knocked me off of that rock?" "Yes, honey, I remember. I remember when my mother stirred up my nest also. But oh, listen, you've learned to do the thing I've longed to teach you. And the way I got you to fly, I had to stir up your nest. Mother, I want to ask you something. Did you take some of that good soft padding out of our nest?" The old mother smiled and said, "Yes. I knew that as long as you loved that nest, you'd never get out and fly. And you'll never get anything done in your nest. I had to get you out of the nest." Whose nest are you in tonight? What kind of nest? Nesting and resting and jesting. This whole world. The young people got on the radio the other day and said, "Y'all come down. All you kids come down to our church because we have fun. We'll tell funny stories and we're jesting down at our church. Life is more serious than that. You girls, some of you feel like you're in a prison while you're here. It's the sweetest prison you've ever been in because it's the prison of love. We put you first. Nobody has ever tried to exploit you in our home. We bought your dresses, your teeth, your glasses, and we told you where you could get your salvation that Jesus bought on Calvary. Peace and joy and love and contentment in Christ." And some of you are so slow to see that you're living next door to the promised land and won't move in. God is permitting us to stir up your nest. And I wish I could get the American mothers and dads, I mean the people that are mothers and dads, to get their silly nests stirred up and begin to put their children first and teach them to soar into the heavens with Jesus. They'll never be happy till they do. Most of our children in this generation, you mothers and daddies, listen to me. Most of them have never learned to fly. They're the most shielded, and yet they're the most desperate and the most defeated children I've ever known in my life. Look at the boys that have come to be with us this week. And some of them, take old Fred sitting there. Stand up, Fred, just a minute. Old Fred came in here in trouble, and yet when I went out and landed on the beach and old Fred came walking up, I mean, he was so pulled in and away from when the girls sang to him, he didn't want to hear them sing, didn't want to be around us. And he was just one of these typical defeated, yet in such serious trouble, 5 years in the penitentiary, if you please, because of your sin and crime. And yet the other day when I landed and walked up to him, he reached out that hand and gave me a good smile. First time I ever saw him smile. Jesus has come into his heart. Made him a new boy. He told me, said, "I want to get some more of this hair cut off." Said, "I don't want to look like a hippie." That's right. Brother, when you get saved, you want to look like God's people. You want to talk like them and walk like them and act like them when you get saved. Oh, today's the day of salvation. Now's the time. I believe I'll close. One day the man of Galilee, precious, wonderful man of Galilee, had somebody come a-running up to him and said, "I'll follow you whithersoever you go. Make me any difference. I'm going with you." And Jesus must have pointed out an old fox climbing up the mountainside. He said, "You see the old fox going down?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Tonight when the wind howls and the snowstorm comes, or
the wind blows or the rain falls. That old fox got him a hole up there somewhere. He'll be dry, rest well during the night. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He said, you see the old eagle heading toward the rock over yonder? He said, yes, sir. He said, she's got a good nest tonight. And she'll get in that nest. It's strong. And she'll be just as secure as an eagle could be. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus Christ had no earthly nest. Never did. Finally, he'd been looking for a nest for 33 years. He didn't have a wife nest. He didn't have a family nest. He didn't have any material nest. He didn't have many friends nest. His own people turned their back on him, came unto his own received him not. And finally, after 33 years, he found him a nest. That's the nest he'd been looking for. He walked up Golgotha's rugged hill and stretched those hands of mercy and pointed around the world and said, this is the nest I've been looking for all these years. Y'all start your hammers and get out your spear. This is the nest that my Father has chosen for me, and I delight to do thy will, O God. And Jesus died in a bloody nest in order that you and I might have a spiritual nest. And we ought to be grateful to God for what he's done for us. Don't be afraid, girls. This is the nest stirring time. And we're going to learn to fly for God. We need soldiers, not sissies. We need men and women that will build Christian homes and pray, get rid of the trash and the junk, rake out the garbage and clean out the house, and let God use your home and your life. We need daddies that'll stand straight and tall for Jesus, and that'll get their families ready to meet the Savior. Make a living, take care of the needs. We need wives that'll stay home and read the Bible and go to the prayer closet every day and talk to the Lord until heaven comes down and the little children walk in the way that's right. The greatest heartbreak you'll ever have is when you see your children wreck their lives and fall over the precipice and hit on the rocks below because mother and dad didn't teach them to fly, and you'll give an account to God for not teaching your children to fly. Bow your heads while we pray. Lord, help us tonight. Thank you, Father, for the day that you stirred up our little selfish blindness, that you let the thorns protrude and made us unhappy and uncomfortable and miserable, living in a little old worldly nest. Lord Jesus, I know the girls, they've had a nest made out of dope and liquor and immorality and sin and worldliness and rock and roll and movie magazines and all the make-believe junk they could put in a nest. But Lord, I'm so glad that you permitted to be stirred up and got them out and gave them a vision of Jesus, the great eagle flyer. Oh, sweep us into thy arms tonight and have mercy upon mothers and dads. Lord, this has been another week of the cry from Egypt's land. Mothers and dads and young people, and so young, ought to still be playing paper dolls and yet out in a life of sin and immorality. God, give us a brokenness and a contrite spirit and a compassion we've never known before. Father, I read where Jesus said when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they were like sheep going astray without a shepherd. Father, I pray that you'll bless us and bless this message. Meet the needs of all of your children. Father, bless our girls. Some have never come into the victory yet. Lord, I pray for them. I'd like to share with you a poem that Bill Harvey wrote many years ago after he heard a similar message that we preached in a Bible conference. And he penned these precious words. An eaglet in its downy nest surveyed the scene below and ask with animated zest, oh, mother, I would know, will I someday begin to fly as high and far as you? The answer came, of course you'll fly, for that's what eagles do. High born you are, and high you'll stay, and higher still you'll go, and never know an earthbound day, nor crawling to and fro. Now dashing down, now soaring high, now floating on the air, now flying where you will to fly, now free to do and dare.
Your eyes will view a vast domain, and nothing will you fear. Lions will admit your reign when your great wings appear. Be angry in your sovereignty. Be fierce and claim your own. Fight bravely, independently. Fight bravely. Fight alone. Your spreading wings, your angry eyes, your talons, curving beak are symbols all where freedom cries and independence speaks. With strength to flay the largest foe that threatens little ones, with raging cry to let them know that you'll protect your sons. I'll take the down from out the nest and let the thorns protrude. I'll let the thorns disturb your rest and I'll halt your nesting mood. Then soon you'll climb upon the edge and stretch your pinions out. You'll totter on the eerie ledge and ponder space and doubt. Then, with a wing, I'll knock you off to flounder, flap, and fly. And with a swoop, I'll pick you up and never mind your cry. I'll put you on the perch again, then knock you off the nest to see if you'll stand the strain and stand that acid test. I'll give you opportunity to prove that you can fly, and then a final chance to see if you will fly or die. I'd rather rugged, jagged rocks would claim you as their own than bear the taunts and jeers and mocks that you've never flown. But fly you must, and fly you will, and conquer gravity, and know the golden thrill, and fly for all to see. My eagle son, this word I give, keep looking to the sky, for though an eagle flies to live, an eagle lives to fly. Well, amen. If you'd like to write us, and we can help you in any way, the box number is 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas. And I hope this will remind you to pray for us every day with all of the homes that God has given us and all the people that come our way. Desperate cries come from Egypt's land every day. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Behold, I send an angel before thee, to keep thee in all thy way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children alone. Where the waters cool flow, bathe the weary one's feet, God leads His dear children alone. And some 36 years ago, the Lord placed His omnipotent hand on the shoulders of the most unworthy country boy and called him from his single row cultivator into the ministry of preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ Jesus. And surely, He has led us safely along and been more than our heart ever had a right to expect. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads His dear children alone. Sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of the night, God leads His dear children
alone. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a sweet song in the night season and all the day long.
Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not, and there is none upright among men. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory,